Hey, what up? We up in this piece. I really feel some type of way, Bianca. I don't know. Y'all, I feel like I look so light-skinned right now. And I really feel, because you is, honey, and this is not like for me to try to dim your light, okay? Because baby, you over there glowing and bronzed up, okay?
God is good.
The contrast of the bronze with the turquoise, okay, with the lip pink pop, it's giving, as the young people would say.
Oh, thank you.
And also, I want some. So I'm over here like, why I look so Caucasian today? I don't know. I got to do better. I got to figure it out.
But you look beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. It's taken a while to be here, and I'm grateful to be here.
See, looking all white and everything, child.
This is the look of being loved and being at peace.
Well, amen. Amen to that. Come on now with some
peace, but you okay? See, our homegirl, Kalonda, in the comments said that we are both glowing. Okay.
Yes. Yes. I receive that.
Yes, indeed.
But Kalonda know what I'm talking about because she be trying to find that sweet spot too. So I'm up in here like, let me get up in here so y'all can see my chocolate goddesses, okay? Listen, I'm here for it though. I just want you to know and understand, okay? I am here for it. So let's go ahead and get started, y'all. Hey, what up? Welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit. This is the podcast where we fearlessly navigate the complexities of life, love, grief, and the extraordinary journey of healing. We invite y'all along to join us on this raw and unfiltered exploration as we share our personal stories, triumphs, and challenges to inspire and uplift.
In a world that often encourages us to mask our struggles, we choose to lead with love and vulnerability. It's time to collectively address our own shit and have some real conversations. So we're about to voice the things that you might have not vocalized, verbalized, or even thought about so we can get to the root of the shit and heal.
So 2024, y'all, is the year of popping that shit. It's time out for being fake humble. We are absolutely bragging on ourselves and each other and all the things, all right?
Yes,
we're taking
indeed.
These compliments and we are not deflecting, all right? We popping our shit. So we want to model, you know, what that looks like or whatever, just in case you needed an example. So what up, y'all? My name is Kimberland. I'm an educational advocate, activist, and consultant. I am a visionary and motivational speaker. I'm a virtual producer and network executive. I'm an intuitive melanated life coach. I specialize in helping people deepen their relationship with God to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I am also a professional frolicker. I left the U.S. in October of 2021, so I currently live in Medellin, Colombia, in South America, and I help people who are looking to leave the U.S., looking to have a life that is different and step out, or looking to incorporate more peace into your life, because mm-hmm. we deserve that. So I'm all of that, y'all, and I'm one of your hosts tonight, so what up?
What up? Yes, indeed. My name is Bianca Goolsby. I am a digital strategist, a consultant, an education activist, and a certified snitch. Yes, indeed. I am a private investigator. You know, you said it, and I should have had it ready. I am a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed.
I thought you knew to always have it ready. You're going to have to run this back because you're not doing it right. And also, you need to tell the people the story behind the snitch because, like, fix it, Jesus. Go back, run it from the top. Take two.
Not run it from the top. Lord have mercy. My name is
Bianca. I need you to pop your shit right. Like, you can't be out here half popping shit. I just told these people that we about to be popping our shit and you half popping your shit. Get it together.
Heard. Understood. Okay. Yes, indeed. So my name is Bianca Goolsby. I am a digital strategist, a consultant, an education activist, and a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed. I am a private investigator and a receipt collector. Please put some respect on my name. I am the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and heal. I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach. I'm a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. Currently, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida. And my purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment. Amen.
Amen, honey. Amen.
Okay.
Wait, we have an announcement in the chat. Have we heard that flies? I'm sorry. I got in the way of your air horns. Damn it.
Take two. Run it again.
First of all, technically, it would be take three while you're trying to be smart. Okay. Anyways. Give yourself your air horns again. Yes, you deserve it. All right. Now, I got excited because Kalanda said Plies made us a theme song. I don't know nothing about this now. Now, I don't really be on these internets like that and seeing Plies.
I'm intrigued. For real.
So we need a link or some information, okay? So send that up the pipeline because, yeah, I don't know nothing about Plies and theme song, but I want to hear it. Okay, I want to, because I be ready to turn up now. Okay?
Listen. You stay ready to dance.
I'll do that two step, honey. I would do the I can't drop it like I used to. All right, I'm done. I'm being ridiculous today. All right, go ahead.
So, just wanted to let y'all know that we operate by the three keys here in this space. That is accountability, transparency, and integrity. Before we go further, we want to make sure that we're very clear about our expectations, what you can expect from us and what we expect from you. Okay? All right. So what you can expect from us, for us to operate out of the three keys, we're going to be keeping it real. We're going to be speaking it freely around here. And we might cuss if and when we feel like it. So if you have little ears in the room, grab some AirPods, some headphones, something. Okay. That's your business. But just we're giving you the advisement and letting you know that we're going to speak freely in here. And what we can expect from you is if you have hate speech or comments, those are not welcomed here. We believe in the Block and Be Blessed ministry. So please be intentional with how you engage with others in social spaces, particularly this one, because this is a safe space. We also want you to engage and go with us on this journey. We're not the experts. We're just facilitating the conversation. And we want you to participate in this journey and bring people with you, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal.
You know what? That Block and Be Blessed ministry, I really want more of us to accept the call, the altar call, because I actually saw Kev on Stage made a video earlier today, and he was like, you know, I used to didn't be blocking people, but people just be saying the craziest stuff. And he was like, I'm out here blocking people now. And I just want y'all, if you in the shackles of not blocking people, let me tell you the kind of peace that's on the other side. Okay. My block list is so long, honey. I went back through the block list because every so often I go through there and make sure ain't nobody up for parole. It's hard to come out the block list. Let me tell you. Because listen, I be having mental funerals for people, for real. Mm-hmm. And I am definitely, this is it's probably not a good trait, but it's a part of the ADHD and the neural spiciness. If you are not like in my constant vision and orbit and all that kind of stuff, I'm not necessarily thinking about you on a daily basis. And much, much more so if you've done something to land your ass on that block list.
Mm.
So if you over there on that block, baby, you is done. Okay.
Yes,
but I'm
indeed.
Always fascinated because I'll go back through every so often, you know, and look at all the folks that I have blocked and I'll be like, yep, you still belongs here. You still belongs over here. Okay.
Yes,
so
indeed.
I just wanted to underscore that because, baby, that block can be blessed, girl. It changed your life.
It does
change your life. The object permanence is real. Thank you for the name. That's what it's called. Object permanence. Like if something is in your vision most of the time, and then, okay, you know that it's there, but when it ain't, it ain't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's how I be doing people. I be having a whole funeral service, child, and they be out of here. I done took them off.
We got to protect our peace out here in these streets.
Facts. Because if we're not protecting it, then nobody else is. Who then? Okay. Who then is going to protect it for us? So, I just want to make that underscore. But also, we have some quick updates and reminders. First off, if y'all haven't said what's up in the comments, so y'all hanging out with us, say hey, y'all. We up in here having this conversation, fostering this community. But one of the things, one of my most favorite creators in the entire YouTube verse is Kev on Stage. I talk about him all the time and I like his content. I love his content. I've been following him for a really long time. But what I also love is the community that he's created within his Patreon. Today they were recording some stuff and you watch live and we in the comments like having a blast. You hear me? Like,
yes, indeed.
It is just so funny and so fun. And that is what I really think about creating here is a place where, yes, y'all talking to us, but y'all also talking to each other, right? Because you might be talking to somebody and you realize that y'all got the same interest, that person real funny or whatever. Or maybe you like, oh, they be hilarious. And maybe you want to come on as a guest host. And like, y'all, like, this is a community for all of us to really be able to support each other and hold each other accountable and have some damn fun, okay? Because this world out here is a wow, all right?
Ooh,
so we're trying to, you know, spread some joy and all of that over here. So having said that, it's important that we let y'all know how to give us some love, right? Giving love is or doing this is a way to help us to know what you are thinking, what you're feeling, and all of that. So we have some emojis, right? So our main emoji for our community here is the heart with the bandage on it, all right? So if we see y'all, like if y'all on our personal pages or whatever, and y'all drop that heart, we know. Oh, that's our people from Heal That Shit, right? You can combine that heart with a different color heart, whatever your favorite color is or whatever vibe you're on that particular day, right? So that's one way to give us some love. Another way to do that is with our individual emojis. So my emojis are the crayon and the sunflower. The crayon, because I'm coloring the fuck out this life. I'm coming out of this place of living in black and white and really embracing color. And my favorite color is yellow. It reminds me of the sun. It makes me happy. That's why I have my yellow glasses. Those are my emojis. So if you want to give me some extra love, you would drop a crayon or you would drop a sunflower in the comments. So those are mine. And be telling about yours.
So teddy bear season, baby. Okay. I have a lot of love to give and I'm receiving a lot of love. It is teddy bear season. So please send me the teddy bears. Okay. Okay. And then also the hand where it's making the heart. It is so impactful for me. It's to the point where I actually have items on my desk just to symbolize this because of my heart and the things that I am going through in that. And so with that being said, those are my emojis to connect with me, the teddy bear and the hands forming the heart.
So y'all give us some love in the comments in one of those ways. And again, if you see us in other spaces, that's a way for us to automatically know where we know you from, where you've joined us from. All right. The other thing that we want y'all to realize, we international, y'all. So drop your location. Okay. Like, tell the people where you watching from. Now, you ain't got to drop your address and all that, you know, but if you watching from New Orleans or you watching from Tampa, shout out where you're at, because again, we build a community over here. All right. So having said that, I also want to make sure that y'all are following us on social media, on Heal That Shit, and that y'all are interacting with our content, right? So how do you do that? Giving emojis, comments, sharing, liking, subscribing to the YouTube page. All of that is going to build engagement. You are getting started right at the beginning of this process. This is only our 10th episode, but also this is our 10th episode.
Yes.
We started this podcast at the beginning of the year because Bianca and I had a hellified second half of 2023, both of us. And we turned our microphones off, baby, unplugged and disappeared.
Out of here. Out of here.
Silencio. Okay. Wild. So if y'all go back and y'all watch like our episode zero, when we were just even talking about, we really didn't even have a name for this. And we were trying to think about it, to developing through episode one and how along this time we came up with emojis and we got production and like all this kind of stuff. This is evolving and you get to be in at the beginning of this process, which is really cool because you are directly impacting how we create this community, right? So we wanted to be intentional in sharing that because we know that we have new faces that are constantly coming. So we want to make sure that we update y'all and let y'all know how you are able to communicate with us and how you're able to support us. We also have a Patreon. And over on Patreon is where we're going to be having the conversations that we really don't need to have out for the general public. And there are quite a few of them. One of those conversations surrounds dating and the journey of it all. So if you somebody where you like, and I need the tea, then you will want to head over there to the Patreon. And again, the Patreon is that Heal That Shit, because that's where we will be having those conversations. Mm-hmm. All right. So having said that's all I announced. Oh, no, it's not. We on the podcast. Tell people where the podcast stuff at.
I was wondering if we was going to get there because yes, indeed, we are featured and listed on several different podcasting players such as Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and so much more. So you can go to our website at wehealthatshit.com. You can scroll down and you can find us on your favorite podcast player. We are there, baby.
Love it. Love it. All right. So let's transition over into our spirit check so we can kind of catch each other up. Now, we've spent a lot of time together lately, so I've intentionally not been talking about certain things because then we won't have nothing to talk about because we done been talked about it, you know. But for our spirit check, the way this works, y'all, is we like to be intentional about really stilling ourselves for a moment to try to figure out what's going on in our brain, what's going on in our spirit, what our body might be communicating to us. So we have four hearts that we use for different colors. So I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. That's a green heart. I'm good. I don't have any complaints. That's a blue heart. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. And yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So if you are here watching with us live, please drop the color heart in the chat that corresponds. If you are watching this afterwards during the replay, go ahead and drop it into the comments. And if you are listening, again, drop it in the comments to let us know where your spirit is. So where you at? You muted, girl. How you got muted? There you,
oops.
There you go. Okay, what?
So right now in this space, I am green. But as I'm processing, I'm going to say that I'm blue. And I'll say that there are some purple sparkles in the blue heart. Mm-hmm. I am good. I don't have any complaints. Things could be better. I'm in a good space. However, I know that I can be in a better position than where I am right now. Mm-hmm. And life is life in, people are people in, but I also know that God is still God in. So right. Purple sparkles with a blue heart is where I'm okay. at.
Okay. All right. I am green with blue sprinkles. I had like some really, I don't know, that's not fair to say. I was going to say really rough. Not necessarily really rough, but I had some really off days the past 2 weeks. One of the things that is becoming supremely evident for me is that if I do not do my routine when I start my day, things ain't working. And I was trying to figure out the correct order for what I need to do and when I need to do it. And I think I figured it out. And I'm really excited about that because I had not really been spending as much time talking to God that I used to, because I feel like I was, I don't know, in my head, like I just was off. I just was off. So now that I've figured out my order of my routine, I've been like talking to God every morning in the shower, and that sets the tone for what I'm going to work on. Like, cause that leads into me journaling, and then, okay, then I journal and then I get my tea and then I start my day. So it feels natural, which is what I have been trying to figure out, like how to not make it feel so, ugh, now I got to do this. And, ugh, now I got to do that. So me figuring that out has made my days go a lot better. And I feel like because I'm talking to God more often, I'm getting ideas, and they are everything. Like the ideas that are popping into my head, I'm like, oh my God, when this happens, this gonna be good. And it's ideas not just for me, it's ideas for the people that are connected to me. So these collective ideas of how all of us are going to be able to win and create like these multiple streams of income and not have to worry about money and like all this. So I've been really, really excited about that. The sprinkles are kind of like wondering how certain people are doing that I haven't talked to. A lot of the people that are in my orbit are people that have helping spirits, very empathetic, like always extending themselves. And because I can feel energy, I can feel when they are feeling disconnected and not grounded. So that is kind of weighing on me as well. But overall, I'm in a really, really good place. And I'm excited to be here because my brain people are like, they cranking things out. It's nice.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm proud of you. I am proud of you for the way that you continue to show up as life continues to life, and how the past couple of days, for the folks that don't know, we've been working behind the scenes doing some amazing things. And in that, the way that you show up, Kimberlyn, like I have to give you your flowers, sis. Like, you are a phenomenal woman and you are a genius.
Thank you. Thank you. For context, we have some interns that we had the opportunity to work with. And synergy is the word that comes to my mind of when like minds and like spirits are in the same place. And with open hearts and willingness to hear and learn and grow, things happen. And it's amazing for me to watch it because I know that it's God. And like, that's what I love the most about the work that I do with life coaching, because I don't, not that I don't do anything, but it's not me. Like I get to watch like things unfold as well. And then once you share with me what God is revealing to you, then I can like guide you from there. But I get to discover with the people that I work with. So it's always like, oh my God, this is wow. Mm. Oh yeah, I can see that. Uh-huh. And so that's what I've been feeling like, that synergy. So I appreciate you acknowledging that and seeing that because it definitely, I have felt like that in the space. Like I felt like this is good. Like, you know, and that's why I be going back and watching what I'm saying, because sometimes I don't be knowing what I'm saying. But when I go back, I be like, that was good. Mm-hmm. Like to see the light bulb moments and all that kind of stuff. So thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yes, indeed.
So I know we had not necessarily talked about your social media detox. And you know what's so interesting? The other day, Bianca, I had said to myself, because when I am getting to a place of overwhelm, I notice that I scroll a lot. Mm-hmm. So, and then my phone, you know, it want to be all helpful. Sis, you spent 2 hours and 4 minutes more on your phone this week than you did last week. Hey,
yes, indeed, girl, for the receipts.
Girl, I didn't ask you for all of this. I do not. Girl, get out of my business, right? So anyway, I had said to myself the other day, I was like, I should... I might want to explore like doing a detox or doing some type of difference with my social media use. So I'm wondering what it's been like for you after doing the social media detox in April to transition back into whatever.
Yeah. So, I had really set firm boundaries at the beginning of the month of like, I don't need Facebook on my phone. I'm not going to install the app anymore. And as of today, that app is on my phone. I also noticed.
What made you put it back on?
So I wanted to upload pictures, and the way that my phone and my computer was talking to each other, the quality wasn't the same. It didn't hit the same. And I really wanted these photos to be posted up on Facebook. And so I downloaded the app for that purpose, to upload those photos. Well, in that, then comes the behavior of scrolling. Then comes the behavior of looking at different things that I probably shouldn't be looking into. Then it led me to then bad behaviors at night and in the morning when I woke up, and it changed my routine. So what I mean by that is I had a thing where I didn't sleep with my phone in the bed. My phone would be somewhere completely different, where I actually would have to get up and make intentional steps to grab my phone, reach my phone, because I don't need to see what time it is. I have a clock that's right next to me. I don't need to look at my phone for the time. So I now found myself sleeping in the bed with my phone, and then waking up, and now I'm going to the bathroom with my phone in my hand. And then now my bathroom trip used to be, you know, 5 to 7 minutes, and now it's 30. So I'm glad that you uplifted this, because it has forced me to really examine these behaviors. And I literally wrote this down for this episode today, because this is something that I have to change, because I went back to bad behavior that I said that I wasn't going to do. I said that I wasn't going to be checking my phone early in the morning. At least let me take my medicine before I'm scrolling on Facebook to see what other people doing. So the social media detox journey, I have to revisit this now, because there's clearly a problem where I am attached to not only my device, but also mm-hmm. Facebook in particular. I didn't install the Twitter app. I didn't install Instagram. I only did Facebook. So I have to re-examine my relationship with Facebook. I have to re-examine my relationship with my phone, because after that detox, I went right back.
Right back.
And I was sucked back in, and I'm looking around like, I did this detox to help me not do this. And here I am doing this again. So I am interested to know, and I'm wondering for you and the people that are watching, like, how often do you examine your screen time and how long you're on your device? And what intentional time are you really spending on your device versus you just scrolling, and now time has passed because you're scrolling, and it was done because you were bored or you just grabbed your phone, and now you've gotten into a rabbit hole of information that you weren't intentionally seeking.
So I would say for me, you use the word intentional. So there is not necessarily intentionality in checking my screen time. Like I said, my phone decided that it wanted to do a push notification. So it came through. But I don't usually check it with intentionality. Like, it usually just comes up. One of the places that I have noticed that I have spent less time is on TikTok. And one of the reasons is because TikTok is addictive. And it's not that I'm watching foolishness, because when I'm over there, like, my TikTok algorithm I love, because it is very much like empowering, as well as puppies and rainbows and neurodivergence and things that are adding to my life, as well as though rug cleaning videos and ASMR organizings and stuff like that, right? So I used to go over there to try to have a mindless activity, like if I needed to just unplug my mind. But I found myself over there a lot. So then I kind of went cold turkey, and it was easier because I don't necessarily have a big following over there or whatever, right? For me, it's Instagram. But though I have not necessarily with the time have been tracking the time, what I have been tracking is how I feel. So I have one, I have a bunch of Instagram accounts. I don't know, three, four, I have four. Four different Instagram accounts. But they all have different purposes and things that are attached to them. So what I found is that, like, my Kimberlyn J, I don't really go over into that world very often, because that world is where the real news lives. So I open up that, and it's immediately Palestine, Sudan, Congo, Joe Biden, foolishness. Like, I don't be wanting to be in that world a lot of times. So over there, I usually put out content, but I don't necessarily take in content. But because that used to be my main page, messaging is one of the ways that I communicate with certain people over there. So I'll go there for that. But then I spend most of my time on my Mind and My Black Ass Business, because that is, again, empowerment and rainbows and puppies, and I feel happy over there. So there I may actually scroll, because I don't feel like I have to be on guard of whether I'm gonna see something triggering. On Kimberlyn J, it's like anybody might put out, you know, what's happening. But sometimes I be wanting to just unfollow it all. But I feel like I do need to know about what's happening in the world on some level. So if I do scroll over there, I may only scroll for like 5 minutes, and then I get what I got in those 5 minutes, and then I'm out of there. So that's the way that I've kind of been examining my practices.
I'm very intrigued on what your screen time report says. when you look at the data for the day and the week. And so
I'm intrigued what your screen time report says.
So I actually pulled it up. So we're going to talk about it.
Let me find mine. Hold on.
So for today, May 22nd, my screen time as of 8:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time has been 11 hours and 28 minutes. Let me say that again for the people in the back. We have been on this device 11 hours and 28 minutes. Okay. This is what it looked like, y'all. Okay. So this is what the breakdown is. Social media is 4 hours and 54 minutes. Utility apps, 1 hour and 20 minutes. Entertainment is 56 minutes. What that breaks down to, the most used was Facebook. Mind you, I just put this app on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And today, it was 2 hours and 27 minutes. Messages, 1 hour and 37 minutes. Google Chrome, 1 hour and 20 minutes. YouTube Music, 56 minutes. WhatsApp Messenger, 49 minutes. Waze, GPS, 31 minutes. Camera, 20 minutes, photos, 17 minutes, and then it goes down to various other platforms that are 2 minutes or less. So I won't read all of that, but it says that I picked up my phone 65 times today.
Okay.
Meaning that my phone was idle and I picked it up and I used it and then it tracks what app I picked it up. So usually it's a message. So my most pickups was Messenger because I would see a message. I picked up my phone to then read the message. That's how they do the calculation.
Did it that's what I was about to ask about notifications.
Notifications, 119 notifications today.
Okay.
Which by the way, I've disabled all of my notifications besides Messenger, WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, Facebook, Life 360, and the Mantra apps, and then also my heart monitoring. That's all on there. So it literally.
But you have notifications for Facebook on your phone?
I do because I just installed the app. So I left the notifications on there. So these are all the apps that I'm getting notified, and 119. So just imagine if I had Gmail still enabled because I took email off.
Okay, so let me go to mine. All right, so I had today 7 hours and 44 minutes. And 2 hours and 22 minutes of that was Instagram. 1 hour, 42 minutes, WhatsApp. 1 hour, 20 minutes, Facebook. 40 minutes, YouTube. 16 minutes, camera. 16 minutes, Google Home. 12 minutes, Google Chrome. 10 minutes, Pinterest, 8 minutes, Alexa, Google, 6 minutes, Messenger, 5 minutes, Canva, 4 minutes, and Duolingo, 3 minutes, and TikTok, 3 minutes. So those are mine. I had 226 notifications today, the majority of which came from WhatsApp, then Life 360, McAfee Security, then my IM app, Gmail, my calendar, and then Messenger. I picked up my phone 24 times today. And let's see, anything else? Yeah, so that's my quick rundown.
I love how it mirrors some of the same measurements that iPhone uses. So just for note and context, I have an iPhone and Kimberlyn has an Android device. And in both of these different ecosystems, they are monitoring and tracking very similar things. I say all this to say that whether you have an iPhone or Android, you can look at this data and make an assessment on if you need to change your behavior. clearly for me, when it says that I've been on my phone for over 11 hours, I was just like,
something got to change. Does it tell you like the, I'm sure it does, if you drill down like the time of day that these things are happening, because maybe that's a place to start, is like, is it more in the morning or is it a certain trend of particular hours or whatever?
Yeah. So it actually will give you a timeline and it will tell you the time. So at the very beginning, we're talking about 12 a.m. that at midnight, it's a new day.
Yeah.
And so me being up after midnight is adding to this time. And then 6 o'clock-ish, it looks like around 6:45, 7, that's peak time for me, clearly. Mm-hmm. But why do I have my phone in the bed? You know, so going back to the behavior that I was just saying, I didn't want to do that. So I wanted to start my routine and I wanted to center myself and ground myself before I engage with anything that is on my phone. So now I have to make intentional steps to change that up because I don't like it.
What I'm having she said. So basically I'm in a monogamous relationship with my phone. Look like quite a few of us are. We have another time, 12 hours, 47 minutes, 35 pickups, and 150 notifications. So what do you think, what if you looked at your phone, what would you feel happy about? Like, be like, man, that's good. Like, I did a good job. What do you think that looks like for you?
So if it's work, business related, emails of success, you know, people following up with approvals of things, people in my orbit that text me, you know, that brings me joy and happy. I look at content and videos that bring me joy. I listen to music. I have different playlists that I use. And then, you know, I also need it because it's attached to my pacemaker too. So like it is a device that I need to have with me all the time to be able to look. I also need to process a lot of this more too, as you're asking.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm like, but does it really bring me all that joy at the end of the day? Because this is just one device. I have two phones and a tablet. In a laptop. That's a lot.
You right. You said it. Yeah. I just wonder what, I wonder if it is the time, or I wonder if it is the particular apps, or I wonder if it is the time of day, or like, I just wonder, not for you to answer right now, but I just wonder, like, for all of us, what would we be proud of if we picked up our phone and analyzed our data and was like, man, this was a good week? Because I hear you on the productivity, but also I got to kind of push back on that because I don't have to be productive all the time. And, you know, we shouldn't constantly just be in a state of production all the time. So I definitely expect to see some type of, like, for instance, I just started playing The Sims again. I had put it down for a long, long time. I'm talking maybe a couple years. But the other day, I picked it back up. And I've been enjoying playing it or whatever. Again, it's mindless and it's just something for me to take my mind off of everything. I need that. Like, I need that moment to go into the factory and build some, I don't know, some fire pits, you know, like it's something that is fun for me. So I wonder if what the, I guess like the replacement behavior is, I'm wondering like, what would that look like to replace, for instance, if it's okay, I'm on Instagram too much. All right, so I don't want to be on Instagram, but I want to instead be over here. on something else, you know? So that's what I, or like Duolingo. Like, you know, I spent 2 hours and 22 minutes on Instagram, but if I would have spent 2 hours and 22 minutes on Duolingo, I might be out here more fluent with this Espanol, you know? So that's what I wonder, like what that looks like for us to honor the totality of it all, but not also like box ourselves into this place of, I don't want to pick up my phone unless I'm doing something productive. Mm-hmm. Because I also feel like we know when it's overkill. We know when we've been scrolling too long, you know, like some of the bit, damn, I done been sitting here. And some of the apps be like, hey, you might want to take a break. You might want to take a break, sis. You've been over here for a little while. You might want to go ahead on and take a break, right? So I think that we're aware of that. I just wonder how we shift it to a practice that we can be more proud of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot to reflect on for sure.
Yeah. So my transparency moment, remember when, well, y'all know this if y'all been watching and following for a little while, I have OCD. I live with OCD, and a big trigger from OCD with OCD is bathrooms. And I mentioned earlier that I've been taking my showers and all that kind of stuff. So, and that God has been there. So the other day I was in the shower and I was noticing how I was feeling in the shower. So I'm really trying to like focus on mindfulness and being present, like in the space, right? So I was doing my routine or whatever. Starts out, it's like, okay, I got to take my medicine. Then once I take my medicine, okay, now I want to get up. Now I want to start the shower. I open the blinds, like, you know, it's the whole thing. So I was in the shower and there's a window in my shower. So during the daytime, it's light in there. So I was kind of like enjoying it. I have eucalyptus in there, you know, it's the whole experience. And, but then I was saying to myself, like, do I want to take showers in the morning or do I want to take showers at night? And so far I've just been taking showers in the morning. So I was thinking to myself, if I take a shower at night, what do I want that vibe to be like? Like, do I want to use the light that's actually in the bathroom, which is not a harsh light? It is a kind of softer light. Or do I want to use my colored lights where, you know, I can pick a particular color? And something came to me that was basically like, just find the frequency that feels good in your spirit when on that particular day. Like, it doesn't have to be one answer. You know, it's like that particular day, I might have a green frequency. So I put on the green light and then that makes my spirit feel a particular type of way. So I've been thinking through this find the frequency thing because I really feel like in many ways, it is time for us to pass the torch. We have been doing content for a while, and I think we continue to do content, but I think that it starts to shift. And some of the content that we were doing, like when we were in the thick of things with school board and like all of that, like it was just, it was so much. And it took a toll on us. And I think it's time to involve some other people and also train up some people because we are always talking about, for instance, again, specifically with school board, like there's no pipeline. Like, so even if we talk about this presidential election, right, that we on the cusp of, how is this our only option? I do not understand. I really, in real life, do not understand. And I realize I've been gone for a little while. However, I am confusion 17 times over about how these are the options. I do not, it does not compute in my mind. So there is like a desperate need to have people that are being prepared to serve and come up into whatever offices or to prepare to take the torch to talk about the things or whatever. So find the frequency for me also feels like this, like search for who these voices are that are coming up behind us to continue passing the torch. Because one thing I can say about these young people, these 20 somethings.
Yes, indeed.
They are so fired up. Like when I don't spend a lot of time looking at the protests and things at the different college campuses and stuff, but I have seen how some of the campuses, some of the schools have divested from Israel and all of that. Like that was inspired by the protests of the young people. And I feel like they are fresh and they are ready. And they are like, give me a microphone because I got some things I need to say because y'all is tripping, right? And I support that. So I feel like we're in this season of identifying and passing that torch and empowering and training whoever the folks are that are coming up behind us. And I know some of y'all that are watching are in like your 40s, 30s, 40s. And I wonder if you feel that same thing, because for me, it feels very overwhelming. It feels like, and not overwhelming in a bad way, but like overwhelming, like urgency. Like we need to be preparing people to come up if we want this world to be functioning, because it's some fuckery afoot. Okay. What do you think about that?
I think that you're spot on. When we look at the entire political process and how, while, you know, B6 is trending, just that type of...
Nobody know what B6 is, girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, go ahead and say it. You want me to say it?
I want you to say it.
B6 is bleach blind, bad built, bad... What it is? Butch body. Bleach blind, bad built, butch body. That's B6. Okay, she said that messed up me earlier. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, scandal B16. What? B6 is trending. Bleach blind, bad built, butch body is trending, and go on.
And it's trending because you have people in government spaces that cannot have a civil conversation about policy. We are completely being disrespectful. We are completely throwing each other under the bus and we can't move forward. Meanwhile, have you seen what's happening in our world right now? And this is wild. It's wild out here. So we need to have our younger people engage, and a lot of them are. They just need an opportunity. They just need the mic. They need a safe space to be able to talk, because they are tired of all of these old adults talking about what this world's going to look like, knowing that they probably will expire in 30 years or less. Mm-hmm. And they still going to be here dealing with this. So
I feel like we need to have a freaking cap on age for politicians. Like, I feel like if the retirement age is 65, then that's it. If that's when we're saying that people will retire from working, why is that work any different? Why are there people who cannot even form coherent sentences, who are stumbling and about to break a freaking hip, and this is your king? Like, this, what is happening? I don't understand.
Oh my God.
I really don't. And I be feeling bad because I feel like I watch Amanda Seales, and she's another person who is very much like hated for the truth that she tells. But she often like is talking about the foolishness that is happening. And then people are like, well, don't say that because these are our only options. Okay, I understand that. But also we need to say that, because why are these our only options? I don't understand. I really don't. And I've been saying this from back when I was in Tampa. Remember, I used to be like, these are the options?
This is your president?
This is literally.
Of this organization?
This is the president of this prestigious organization? I feel like that all the time. And I am just confusion because what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? So I feel like we have mm-hmm. the ability to be able to at least teach people how to have a platform, to teach people how to leverage that platform to affect change. And at least maybe if we could help them, because I don't know about some of our contemporaries. I don't know. But if we could go get these young people and we can empower them and help them save some time and all of that, then maybe there's hope. Because why are these our options?
Yeah. Yeah, we have to provide more love to our children and give them a safe space to talk. Because we also see what not... Yeah, because we also see what not talking is causing and breeding on some of our school campuses. It's
well,
scary and
everywhere.
Sad.
Yeah, like there's just, it's so, just the inability, I think, to be able to communicate, like, especially we talk about Florida for a second, right? So with social emotional learning.
They say it's the devil's playground in Florida.
Bruh, I'm glad I got out. I'm telling, when I go back, I made some videos back in 2020 and I said, I got to go. I don't know where I'm going, but I got to get from out of here because this is wild. Like, and that was mild in comparison to what is happening now. But social emotional learning is, or social emotional competency are self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, building positive relationships, and responsible decision making, right? So why is that what we banning in schools? Like, why are we saying that we don't want people to be self-aware and understand what they are feeling and being able to communicate those feelings and being able to identify those feelings and manage those feelings within yourself. And then because you recognize that you have all these feelings, you also understand that other people have things going on. So now you are building empathy for other people, right? And you are focusing on building positive relationships instead of all this catty foolishness that is going mm-hmm. on. And you're making responsible decisions. This is what we are banning in school. Huh? This is what we pay. I don't understand. How is we ever going to heal this shit? They don't even know how to identify how they're feeling. And they feeling so much. So much. And we saying, don't teach them how to communicate. What do we think is going to happen at the other end of this? I be confusion. I be confusion. I do not understand. So I'm just trying to think about how we could do our part. And that's all I got. Like, I'm like, I gave it my all, y'all, because I don't know what is happening. So anyway, with the Find the Frequency, I'm going to continue like thinking through that and figuring out what that looks like. But I really do feel like it is a place to empower and equip some new voices, because mm-hmm. we need to have people who are socially conscious and responsible with some of these microphones. Because, sorry, I said I was going to move on, but I'm not. Let me tell you something about these here Fresh and Fits and these podcasters that are consistently wanting to hate Black women and do these stupid ass, controversial ass, you know, who get the plate first, and if your boyfriend and your daddy fighting, who you gonna listen to? And like, enough. Okay, enough. Enough. because our young people are listening to these people. They listening to them.
One, there needs to be more conversation on parasocial relationships and why it is very important for if you are going to be a creator, what you put out, because you are responsible for what you create in the world. And two, there are some very dangerous content and rabbit holes out here on this internet. If you're looking for it, you can find it. And there's also a dark web that people ain't talking about too. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Enough is enough. Because what is happening here? And I look at some of the tech agencies too in this though, like the tech giants that are getting copious amounts of money for people's attention. Because there's people watching the content and this is how they're generating money. And then they're going to continue making the content that is generating money. And the more angry and emotional you can make people, the more money it generates. That is the system.
Yeah, because engagement is engagement.
When you have a system that's built on people's anger and frustration and reaction, what do you think is going to happen over time?
Yeah, but you know what else too? Like I think that the understanding of algorithms is really necessary because, like, I remember someone was sending me these videos, Red Pill or something, I guess, which is where there's a lot of hatred apparently against all sorts of people. And I had to tell them, I'm not opening this because you are now existing in an echo chamber and you are consistently getting this information. So like they would send me a lot of videos about pronouns and they would say things like, see, people identifying as plants. And I was like, let me help you. That is not real. Like, that is not what's happening. And one of the things that I remember at the school board meetings when they would come and they would read the books and they would have the kids read the books because mm-hmm. they're trying to spark outrage. So they're like finding the one book in the entire district, you know, that had a racy passage. And then they send their 7-year-old up there to read about it because now they're trying to convince the masses that we need to ban books. But the bigger part of that is if we ban access to information, we are now limiting people's ability to critically think and to assess information. And on another thing,
yes, indeed.
While I'm here, because you know what? I grew up thinking that if something was in a book, it was true. And that is not the truth at all. Like it took for me to go to college and like to get out here in the real world and have an understanding of the type of people that have access to writing books. And those are the people that got to have their story told. But there are so many other stories that were never able to be told because they weren't able to write the book about it. Mm-hmm. So it's dangerous when we're talking about something like banning books. Like we're banning particular viewpoints, right? So even though there are people out there writing all type of salacious foolishness and hatred against people, they have the right to do that. And we also need to know that that exists as opposed to not knowing it exists and then we out here just blind and ignorant. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. To your point about having more conversations about the algorithm, going back to the tech giants, some of them can't even explain it.
Right.
They can't explain how their system works. If you want reference, you can go see a video on Netflix. It's called The Social Dilemma. And there are people that worked at these tech giants that I'm talking about that now they wanted to talk about some of their creation and their parts in it. And how it has became a quote unquote hype machine. It's a book. And they also talk about how these systems are created. And so now we're in a place with AI where people don't even know what's true or not true.
Bro,
we're in a very dangerous position with technology. It is scary.
It's scary. And you know what? I remember when people first started talking about AI and they were saying it like to be scared of it. I don't believe that we should be afraid of AI. I think that there is lots of types of AI that is very advantageous. I'll be quick to hop on ChatGPT to save some brain cells and get my juices flowing. And we've been using it. AI has been here, you know, all along. But my concern specifically for this election cycle is they did an update on Instagram and it says that you have to mark your content if it's AI. Because what I think, I don't know how successful that's going to be, right? And how much they're going to police it. But what's been happening is that you can't tell. You can't tell whether it's AI. So when you're talking about like all salacious videos of everything that's happening, over in Gaza and like all of that, you don't know if it's true or if it's real or not, because people are utilizing AI to make it seem like it is. So it's so much more difficult to get down to the truth of what is happening, which is why it's blowing me that TikTok is banned, because that is how so many people found out what was happening, because they were able to put what was happening over on TikTok. So with the U.S. saying that they want to ban TikTok, now they're banning access to information. And there were people like, this was a bipartisan effort to vote for it. Just confusion. But you know what the issue is? They old as hell. So they're so out of touch with what's even happening. So you like, what are we doing, guys? I am confusion.
Mm-hmm.
I am confusion.
Well, you know, when we've been talking about the state of Florida, you know, Ronnie Deion DeSantis, the governor, he had used AI and he had made an ad to mimic Donald Trump's voice. I put the receipt in the comments if anybody want to check it out with Politico.com. But just even with things happening in elections, that been happened.
Yeah.
So what you think is about to happen now between Donald Trump and Biden, and what stake we... It's a lot going on.
I know.
And I need people to pay attention.
Yeah. This is wild. Like, this is really wild. So yeah, the intentionality, that's the word that you used that I, you know, get pulled back to, is the intentionality of even with consuming information. What is the source of this information? I mentioned Kev on stage earlier, but he used to talk about the websites, or not the websites, the pages that are run by white people, one, that are supposed to be like hip-hop pages, and they will like create these salacious headlines that are not even true. But it's like people have a propensity to believe that if something is in block lettering and it looks like it's official, that clearly is true. So they don't even go and research or look to see are there other sources or like anything like that. Like that responsible consumption of information is almost absent. And it is so concerning, specifically from people that are in our age group. The 35s and ups are like getting bamboozled and hoodwinked and run amok all over, because again, we're so disconnected from things that are happening. So you're over there on the Facebook and you done got wrapped up in one of these here rabbit holes. And now you thinking that everything is true. I had watched, Netflix has a series called The Mind or Something Explained.
And oh, I love that series.
one of the episodes was about brainwashing. Mm. And they were talking about people that were in QAnon and how they were able to believe like the crazy ass shit that they were believing enough for them to go and storm the Capitol. Like, what the hell is happening? You know, but it's folks that are not tech savvy, don't understand how technology works, just somebody sent something to you and you believe in it. You just take it at face value. You remember like back in the day, they used to send the thing around like, my friend over at XYZ company said ABC is going to happen on 1-2-3 day and pass this along. And it's like, whose friend? Who is this from?
Them chain messages, baby. We
yes.
Seen it, done it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like just taking new shape and form. But and it's evolving so quickly that people aren't keeping up with the evolutions and therefore falling for the okey-dokes.
Well, you... Even with...
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to grab this comment because I'm glad you said this because I wanted to talk about that. But go ahead. What you say?
Oh, I just looked at the comment too. I was intrigued. Yeah. So two things that came to mind really quick. So one, we really need to have some real intentional conversations of like, who is supposed to be in charge here? Because... Bruh.
Who do we
talk to about this? You had people believe in anything and they are just rinsing and repeating because they've seen someone else do it. And it's just real. It's getting really scary and it's really dangerous. And this is why the work that I desire to do with social media safety and have been doing with social media safety has been so important because you see how it's impacting our adults. Okay. Yeah. Now let's talk about undeveloped brains.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's even scarier. The video that I saw that happened at Leonard High School in Hillsborough County, which I won't share and post that video. I cried watching that. What happened at that school? It was a fight so severe. The boy was almost beat to death, Kimberlyn. Oh, wow. And they had the video recorded, shouting and hollering. It was out of control.
Oh, boy.
And they was just at Astro and Brandon. Several people was arrested. At the skating ring.
Okay. Interesting. So,
it's a lot of situations that's happening with our children and they're recording it and they're getting connected through social media too. So like, while it's impacting our adults in the way that they interact, it's definitely impacting our children.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So I want to make a hard transition because I want to grab this comment that Ashley just put in. She said, like Essence Magazine and the article on denouncing D9 organizations. Have you seen these denunciation announcements and such?
I have for so long. I actually had a conversation with my line sisters. We have a group meeting that we have. And I actually asked them the question of how did they feel about people coming forward and saying that they had heard from God and God had told them that their relationship with whatever organization that they're in is not in alignment and that they needed to denounce and send over a letter to say that they don't want to be a part of it because they can't serve two gods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me pause here. Thoughts? I want to give context just for anybody who is not Greek. So D9 refers to nine historically Black organizations that are part of the National Pan-Hellenic Council. So Alpha Phi Alpha, Alpha Kappa Alpha, Omega Psi Phi, Kappa Alpha Psi, Delta Sigma Theta, Zeta Phi Beta Sigma, and Sigma Gamma Rho. Iota Phi Theta, sorry, is the ninth one. So these organizations were founded between 1906 and 1963. And I am a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, and Bianca.
I'm a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
So, having said that, what do I think about it? I think it's a whole bunch of hogwash and hog moss is what I think. And because it's fucking stupid. And let me tell you why.
Kimberly, why do you say it like this?
Because it's dumb. First of all, the claims are that... I've been waiting to talk about this. So that's why I said I'm glad you put it in there. The claim, and I can only speak for Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. I can't speak for nobody else's process because I ain't go through nobody else's process, okay? But I definitely went through the process of becoming a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated in 2001, okay, on April 14th. I didn't take no pledge to serve no organization, to idolize no organization, to do anything. Our organization is founded on Christian principles. Honey, when you are a Delta, you're going to be in church more than you ever been in church in your whole entire life. Like, I am confusion about how somebody made a personal choice to idolize the organization, and then they then try to demonize the organization and what we stand for. That's your business if you decided to make Delta your God. Delta is not my God. I know who God is, okay? And what I understand is that the work that we do is in the spirit of God. Everything that we do is with Christian principles. So that's why it's a whole lot of goddamn on foolishness and fuckery and stupid. That's what I think. What you think?
So I think the root of this is some of the trauma that has not been addressed in what happens in some of these organizations. And now I can only... Now, I can only speak from my experience as a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. There was a lot of trauma that had happened in my process where I couldn't authentically and unapologetically be me. And so I think that there are some things that happen behind closed doors that it needs to be open and revealed so that we can get to the root and heal that shit. This is what we've been talking about.
I think that's fair.
Now, for the op-eds and these long video dissertations and whatnot. Again, while everyone has a voice and a message in this, I also hope that people be very intentional with the words that they are using on these social spaces.
They're not, because people don't believe that words mean things.
Well, this is why we need to get to the... Who is in charge here? Can we... Who's... Because what is happening?
I don't know. I actually had a pro fight who had denounced Delta way, 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 way back in the day. And I thought it was interesting. I was just like, that's very interesting. And if that's what you feel like you need to do in order to be right with God, then you do what you need to do to be right with God. But what you ain't finna do is act like these organizations are founded on principles other than they weren't. Now, to your point about the individuals who go through intake process and people who are bringing them through the process that are in the organization, that's a separate issue. And I absolutely 1000% agree with you that trauma could have been caused by that. And that could be the root of why they are choosing to separate themselves, because their introduction into the organization wasn't God-like, Christian-like, sisterly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question. Do the men be denouncing their organizations?
Yes, there have been men that have been denouncing their organizations as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. And then the other question that I wonder about, what kind of Christianity is y'all involved in? Because it ain't created equal. And I don't know if y'all know this, and this might be a controversial hot take, but I'm going to say it and I'll say it again as many times as I need to. Hey, God don't be at some of them churches y'all be at. God don't be there. God do not be there. And if that's the Christianity that you are referencing when you're saying that because of your Christian principles, I'm just saying that God don't really be over there at some of them places, because the types of behaviors that be happening up in there, I am certain Jesus would have been flipping all the tables. So I also be wondering about that, because in my growth through understanding the difference between religion and relationship, I can also understand how people are feeling condemned, judged, whatever, by certain people, practices, whatever, because somebody said that, oh, you done went on down in, you done gave your life to Satan, huh? You done joined that Greek and they serving them gods and goddesses. It's like, I ain't never served no god or goddess through Delta, ever, ever. Now I done served people for the sake of humanity and furthering the cause, right, under our 5-point programmatic thrust. But I don't know what y'all talking about. Like, I have no idea. So it's really interesting to me. It's really interesting. Yeah. So thank you, Ashley, for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Because I haven't watched any of the videos. I've seen, I don't know, over years, I've seen enough videos of people denouncing. But right now, it seems like it's a thing. For some reason, especially for a magazine like Essence to pick it up, let me tell you something about Essence. And this probably going to be a hot take, controversial topic too. Okay. And it's all right, because I'm going to say it and I'll say it again. I am highly disappointed in Essence as of late, collectively. There has been a leadership change at Essence, and it is being reflected in the types of articles that they're producing, and the way that they are functioning on social media, and is giving very much, I don't support Black people for real. Let me rephrase. It's giving very much, I don't support African Americans and people who are Black that are not from the African the continent of Africa. And the reason I'm saying that is because I don't know who she is, president, whatever her position is, but this new lady that's in charge, it don't sit right in my spirit. It don't sit right in my spirit. And I feel like it's manifesting even, like, for instance, the Essence Festival is every July. It's June next week. Who going to be there? They not talking about who going to be there? Who going to be at the festival? Like, they're not even talking about it, right? And keep in mind, I'm from New Orleans. So I'm like watching the conversations, and people are like, I done canceled my tickets. Like, what is this? It's a different type of vibe. And when they wrote that article, that op-ed, or allowed that op-ed to be published about Amanda Seales, like, it's giving very messy. It's giving very messy, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
We have to be very intentional with what we do on this internet, and people have to be held accountable. And I just wish that everybody just stop for a moment and just honor these three keys. Period. Full stop.
Tell them the three keys again, because they might have forgot.
Accountability, transparency, and integrity. And be very clear, that goes for me, and that goes for anyone that's in my orbit. Like, I'm very serious about this. We are very serious about this. Like, if we could just take a moment to just be like, okay, I'm going back. Who's in charge here?
Yeah.
What's happening? And how can we make this better? Because we have young folks that are counting on us to make decisions, and we can't even have decorum in our political spaces. We can't have decorum on our online spaces. We can't have decorum in our classrooms, our libraries, and public spaces, and just.
Yeah, we are, we, humanity is wilding right now. Wilding hard.
Yeah. Whole wars going on around here.
Yeah, several. Yeah, it's wild. So y'all, we want this to be a safe space where we can unpack some of this stuff, but also not have to watch our back every time we turn around and you know, just allow ourselves to get to the root, of this shit, y'all, so that we can heal and help those who are coming behind us.
Yeah.
That they don't have to be in their middle ages trying to unpack all of this foolishness that happened. So that is our mission here. And we're going to keep bringing it back to that because we are committed to doing this work and we have to do this together. It is supremely important for us. So having said that, we will be back in 2 weeks for our next episode. And just want to remind you all again that we really need your engagement, right? When people ask us, like, how can we help? How can we help? Engage, share, like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube page. Tell somebody about this, right? Tell somebody about this space. Share this with them. All of that is really, really helpful for us. If you're looking for a way to support financially and sow a seed, if you will, Patreon would be the perfect way to do that. And also in return, you get backstage access to the other things that we're doing. So again, we're at Heal That Shit on all platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I probably forgot something. Heal That Shit everywhere. And our website is wehealthatshit.com. So tell the people where they can find you, Bianca.
You can find me on my website at www.biancagoolsby.com. On the website, you will see different ventures that I have and articles that I'm featured in. Where can they find you?
And you can find me at mindingmyblackassbusiness.com. That is the main space that I am living in right now. You can also find me at kimberlynjackson.com. If you're wondering what my former life used to look like, feel free to go over there. My blog still lives there, as well as some of the things I've done. I do want to mention again that I am a life coach and will soon be opening another opportunity to participate in Discover Your Destiny. And that is the chance for you to understand your unique design so that you are able to tap into your purpose. So I'm revamping that right now and will be ready to press go on that in July. So I'm telling y'all now. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
So if you're looking for what that looks like, you can go over to kimberlynjackson.com and you can see an outline for that course. And Minding My Black Ass Business is where all my shenanigans are. So holla at me over there on YouTube. I have another podcast with my cousin called So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese. We're actually going to have a bonus episode tomorrow where we're going to talk about Cassie and Diddy and surviving abuse and all of that. So we'll be on tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern to have that conversation. So if you feel passionately about that, I ask you to stretch your fingers and come on over to that conversation because I'll definitely be sharing my experience and my cousin will be sharing hers. And we're going to unpack all of this because this fool done apologized and child, it's so much to talk about. I'm going to be cussing. I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to be cussing. I'm going to be cussing. So just be ready to have your earbuds in. Okay. But that's happening tomorrow over on Minding My Black Ass Business. So please do set your reminders for that.
Yes, indeed.
So So we'll be back, y'all, in 2 weeks. Our next show is on June 5th. That's actually my cousin's birthday, at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we'll see y'all in the comments. Love y'all.
Love you. Bye.